¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
We're going to kick off the show with a little heartwarming PSA this morning.
A PSA.
If you see a friend drowning, you need to throw them a life preserver. And there are some people that I would love to thank for making something very magical and heartwarming happen yesterday afternoon. So in this studio, Mo, Abby, Tommy, Rebecca, Jackson, and Amber. From Burt's Big Adventure, Sheridan and Amber. And from also Burt's Big Adventure, one of our photogs, Sarah. We were on a little mission yesterday to brighten up somebody's day. And I think we accomplished it.
Oh, you definitely did. I left to go visit my mother this weekend. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Ma. And my dad's birthday was yesterday. They're born a day apart, which I always thought was really cool. And it was a really good trip. It was a necessary trip. I think it was very cathartic, but it was also really, really tough and kind of a big reality check. And, you know, when it's your own mother who is dying of cancer, you can't go talk to your mom about this. I mean, you could, and she's invited me to, like, with open arms, but I'm not going to put that burden on her. So I managed to keep most of it, like, packaged up inside until I was alone. So on the drive back from the airport, when Chad picked me up, just, like, the floodgates opened, right? And I was, like, ready to burn the world. I hated everything. I think I dented our car because I kicked it. I was pissed off at it. And so I'm just sobbing, coming home, and just feeling like the world is a cruel place and I hate it here. And what's the point of everything? And we pull into the driveway and our RV is decked out in multicolored lights. We have a tree in the yard that's completely decorated. There are ornaments hanging from the trees. The swing set has lights all on it. Our bridge has lights on it. There's a fire pit with hot cocoa and wine and s'more stuff and blankets. And there's a tree inside that looks like Santa. A small one, so it fits in the RV.
We made sure of that.
And I just put my head in my hands and I started weeping. And then Chad showed me the video. And it is a Love Actually style video of all of you walking through with a sign with a message on it, saying a different thing. And it was just one of the kindest acts I have ever experienced. One of the nicest things people have done for me. You can't even underestimate, or you don't even know how much of an impact it had, especially with that timing. And I really needed to see it. And it's dark when we get home because, you know, the sun sets at like 3 p.m. because it's a lazy bitch during the winter. And it just felt like my whole world was tight. Dark. And when I pulled into that driveway, I could see the light in the darkness. And having friends and family, and I mean, your coworkers, but you're more than that. That term doesn't fit, I don't think, at all. Show me that kind of kindness really helped me see the beauty in the world. And you guys are my light in the dark. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you did. Thank you for giving up your Sunday. Thank you for trekking outside the perimeter. You know, I'm sure somebody died of dysentery along the way.
Just Mo getting out of Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a sacrifice.
It's a big deal.
Photos, Mo's like up on a ladder hanging all the lights on the RV.
Risking it all for you guys.
Yeah, so I was like, damn, even Chad won't get on a ladder anymore.
No, it was so sweet. Mo walked up and he even brought his buddy Keon.
I saw Keon,
lady.
Yes.
And sorry we made you late for brunch.
But it was all good. It was worth it.
I felt like it was totally worth it. But yeah, everybody just, there was no question. I was talking to Amy's, I was talking to Bert's business manager, Amy. And I'm like, you know, and we were both agreed. We're like, we need to do something. Like it's
been a long, long, long haul for Cassie.
Yeah.
And this is, while we're just focusing on one thing this morning, if you've been listening to The Bert Show for a while, you know, Cassie has been in kind of this dark cycle. Life is throwing everything it can at her right now.
And as soon as I sent the text to everybody, I mean, it was just ping, 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 ping. Everybody was just, they were in it to win it. And I mean, with all those hands on deck, and then, you know, we wanted to involve your kids, Hazel and Max, and I brought Jimmy out there.
Oh, so they had so much fun.
Oh, and Jimmy did too. They were playing on the swing set, and they were hanging the ornaments on the tree. And as kids do, they were all there at the bottom, gathered at the bottom. But yeah, I mean, we knocked it out so fast, and it was just, it was beautiful to witness and beautiful to be a part of. And I'm just glad that we love you. We hate that you're going through this. So if there's any little bit of a bright spot we can offer, we wanted to offer it. So thank you to everybody that came out and just brought the good energy.
Seriously, thank you guys. It was your weekend. You all have really busy lives. You've got people in town. You've got stuff to do. I mean, just seeing everyone there, seeing Keon, right, from In the Moment. Jackson's there. And it's just, it was, nobody had to do this. And if anybody decided not to do it, it's not like they would have been judged or penalized or anything. And I know that. And so watching that video and everyone walk through and then seeing the photos and videos of everyone working so hard to just bring Christmas to our house, because we're in a trailer right now, so we can't fit the tree inside the house. All of our decorations are probably shot anyway from the mold issues we're having inside the house. And I really wanted this for the kids to make it feel normal, all the lights and like holiday spirit. And to have that done for us and that they got to be a part of it and that they get to see a community coming together to do something nice for somebody else. And they kept the secret too.
On the way home from the airport?
Not at all. I FaceTimed earlier and Hazel's like, I'm sorry, you're sad, Mama. And Chad's like, I thought it was because my mom was there and didn't want to trigger it. And then she was half asleep on the way home, which is why I felt like I could like bawl in the car. And she's like, we have to do the thing. And Chad, it's like, we'll do it tomorrow.
This is the Christmas miracle, right?
Thank you guys, seriously.
It's like our own breaking and entering right here on the Bert Show, you know. And this is going to fit nicely as we're going to mention this again next in the next couple of hours as well, that you really do tend to around this season. You know, Hollywood makes a very good case for how great it is and how special it is, and there are Christmas miracles all the way around, but there are so many real life families that really need help, either emotionally or financially right now. So what you guys did for Cassie yesterday and what we all got to do for Breaking and Entering last week, this can happen 100 different times just in your own community, you know, and it just takes a little something to be the springboard of hope. And I think that's what was accomplished yesterday. And I think that what was accomplished last week on the Bert Show, and it doesn't take all that much.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, you guys gave up your time and Christmas lights and you completely turned my worldview around with that one act. So thank you.
You're welcome.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like SNL is having this resurgence in 2024 because so many of the clips have the capability to go viral on TikTok. And so the host and musical guest that you're going to see on your timeline this week is Paul Mescal and Shaboozy. Paul Mescal had this hysterical sketch about Gladiator. You know, all the movies and TV shows that you're going to see Paul Mescal in, he plays the same character like seven times. He's just a sad, hot man. He's just a sad, hot Irish man in every single film. He plays it well. That's why he keeps getting cast, but it was so fun to get to see him in a comedic light. So one of those sketches was the Gladiator musical, because obviously it was going up against Wicked on the same opening weekend. So this was SNL's way of poking some fun at the dual opening weekend. And we even got to hear Paul sing a little tune.
Look at me, and all they see is a killing machine. But they don't know that far below, I'm so much more than I seem. They call me Gladiator. They call me a slave. They call me a killer, but someday they'll know my name.
and he shakes his hips, and then he goes into the Coliseum and does a little fight dance. It was so, so funny, and he even did the defying gravity riff to the sound of There's No Place Like Rome.
Rome!
It was really impressive. And then for the musical guest, of course, Shaboozey, who's had a killer year. He had 15 consecutive weeks at the top of the charts with his song, A Bar Song. But we also got to hear a new track from him, which I feel like we don't know a lot about Shaboozey yet because he's such a new artist. And he played a new track called Good News.
They ain't picking no flowers from the seeds that I sow. They say it gets darker when you're coming on door.
So hopefully we got some new music coming from Shaboozey in the next year because he's already crushing it. So we're excited to see more from him. All right, people are really upset about the Harry Potter reboot, but not for the reasons you might think. So there's a new Harry Potter reboot coming, which a lot of people were kind of like, why is this happening? We already had the films come out like 15 years ago was the last one, but people are so upset about this casting. Not for any like real negative reason. It's kind of petty, but the actors that they're floating around in terms of who's going to get cast, people think are just too dang hot. So they're like, listen, all of these crusty characters like Hagrid and Dumbledore, they cannot be somebody you want to fantasize about. So
slap some makeup on them though?
Yeah.
And uglify them?
Well, I've never seen an entire Harry Potter movie all the way through. So I don't know. I've never read the books. I don't know jack about Harry Potter. What I do know is having a bunch of the people who starred in the movie passed away. And also with the reboot, like what if there's not a new book, like what's the reboot?
Well, they're going to have it's a TV series. So for a lot of book lovers, people get really upset when like a specific scene or a specific subplot will get cut. So when you have a TV show, you have the opportunity to dive more into character development, which gotcha. I think is like the argument for a TV series.
Yeah. And you know, the movies they're cute. I've watched them all. I was a big Potterhead growing up, but They're cute, but they're a little hokey as well, right? So it's one of those things you're like, they're going to remake it, but it's going to be darker and edgier and cooler. And the guy that is supposedly being cast as Professor Snape, who you'll know was Alan Rickman, long, greasy black hair. He's literally written as sallow skin with a hooked nose.
You would know his voice in a minute.
Yeah, it's like, hello, Potter. I can't even do it. But the guy
that's actually pretty dang good.
Thank you. The guy they're talking about casting for him is fine.
He's like, so he's handsome.
So hot. And I'm like,
Snape can't be hot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not unless it's Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, sexy then Snape. Get it.
Like, that's only October 31st, baby.
Like, canonically, Professor Snape is an ugly white man, and they allegedly are planning to cast a handsome black man for this. And so people are like, this is just so different. So when you start seeing, you know, the previews for the new Harry Potter film coming out, and everyone's got like washboard abs and they're covered in baby oil, and everyone's got like that Game of Thrones Mew where their jawlines are just chiseled. I'm just saying, I'm warning you, because all of the people that I've seen that are prepared to get casted, not even just for Professor Snape, but for Dumbledore, for Hagrid, who is this literal monster that lives in like a cabin in the woods, they all look sexy. So shout out to Harry Potter for glamorizing its reboot. All right, a Disney influencer is dead after one mistake was made at a recent PR event she was invited to. I want to tell you about this tragedy on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
40% of people say that their number one fear is public speaking. So imagine what it must be like for Mo, who had to publicly sing on Saturday a song that he has never sung before.
And I can't sing at all. It was rough, but I did it. A man has to stick to his guns when he loses a bet. He has to complete the bet. That's what I did.
So you lost the college football bet.
Yes.
Because we had to pick the teams that we thought we were going to do the worst. Mo's East Carolina Pirates, which he is repping today on his shirt. They had a pretty decent season. Did they make it to a bowl?
I think they did.
They did.
Yeah, Tommy just told me they're playing NC State. Okay. Yeah. I was supposed to pick the team who would lose the most. They end up having a decent record.
Yeah. The Bobo.
And so for those that may not understand the difference, because you are the only recording artist here in studio. Like, you have multiple albums that you've recorded under your belt. You have performed in front of people before because you are a rapper. Mm-hmm. But how would you differentiate between rapping and singing the national anthem?
It's very different.
Yeah.
Not even close to the same. A lot of people, I kept seeing that a lot. Well, you rap, so yeah, you'll be fine singing. And I'm like, they are so remotely different. It's not even funny. The performance part, you got a little help on that because I've performed in front of people. Mm-hmm. But the singing part, yeah, I had no idea how I was going to pull that off.
Yeah, I want to talk about emotionally you leading up to the national anthem. And I want to check in with Abby and Kristen on this also. Because, again, I had the same feelings this weekend in watching your Instagram stories as I did last week. I hated the fact that you were so calm, cool, and collected and had a good sense of humor about it.
Hashtag no fear.
I would have been a mess for the entire week. Yeah. As I said last week, I would have been practicing in the shower, rehearsing when there was nobody around in the house, rehearsing in the car on the way over there. Abby said the same thing. She would have been a mess.
Oh my gosh, I would have been so nauseous for the entire week leading up to it. I would have had nightmares about it. I would have come to the stadium with bags under my eyes from not being able to sleep because the thought of like someone recording me and my voice cracking, it just makes me cringe.
I 1000% would have enlisted a vocal coach, yes, to help me prepare, yes, for what you did on Saturday.
The irony here is if I had lost this bet and had to sing our national anthem, I would have gone to another country. I would have moved.
You know, the thing is, right, this is the way I saw it. And I learned this from when we went skydiving.
Uh-huh.
I remembered that mentality, and I said I was going to remember it for the rest of my life, in that the actual skydiving part was not that scary. All of the fear was leading up to it. What it's going to be, what it's going to feel like, how's it going to go?
The worry, worry, worry.
I worried for like months over something that was over in 30 seconds and really wasn't that fear. It wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that scary. And so when I got the news that I lost a bet, it literally was the beginning of our vacation. And in that moment, I could almost feel myself about to go into that place that I, like, the old me would have worried and panicked every single second, all the way up into it. And my vacation would have been ruined. The week leading up to it would have been ruined. And in my mind, I'm like, it's 60 seconds. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to be 60 seconds of life. Why would I let that 60 seconds ruin 2 weeks of my life? It just doesn't make sense.
I think this is going to be the reoccurring theme of the show today as we talk to our intern also about having to send out that text to that girl that we found. That's the message we were giving him last week also, dude. It's like, this text is going to take you 10 seconds. And if she doesn't respond, big deal.
That's it. And then once you do it, it's over, you've done it, and you get up out of there. And I knew it would be a story to tell. It would be something I could look back on and laugh at with my friends and family forever. And I also knew I could inspire people. Like, this could be a moment for me to show people whatever it is you're afraid of, there's nothing on the other side of that. Like, just go do it. And in fact, I was like, not only am I not going to be scared, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to actually try to make it sound good. Now, I failed at that part. But I did try. I didn't go up there and try to joke around with it. I really went up there and tried to sing the national anthem to the best of my ability.
Okay, so now that you're past this, I can say this and not worry about getting into your head. But if I had been in your position, my biggest fear, like what could be on the other side of that? Going viral in the worst possible way known to man. Like, we had been playing horrible renditions of the national anthem leading up to this bet payoff. And, like, I would be like, if another morning show does this down the road, they're going to be using a clip of me singing the national anthem because I did so bad.
As a comedian,
yeah,
not the worst thing that could happen to you.
Okay.
Right?
If I can make
millions of people laugh and they know who I am based off of any reason, yeah, I'll take it.
But as an American, that would have been bad.
And that's why I didn't want to forget the words. If I did have a fear, yeah, it was forgetting the words because I was confident. I'm like, I've heard this song my whole life. I know the words.
Right.
And then when I started singing it to myself, My lady was like, nah, I don't think that's the next line.
Yeah.
And then I went and looked, and I was like, oh, I skipped like four lines. I was trying to get to the end of that thing. So I had to go. I went back, and I looked at it. I looked it over a couple times on the way. And I was like, nah, I got this. Okay. Like, let's do it.
So you pull up to West Georgia, right? Now you're on the outside, and you're walking in. Still no nerves. Now you're feeling okay. Now let's get... Because it seemed to me like you were fine. Shaking hands, kissing babies, hugging people you don't even know on the way in.
I was completely fine, man. I embraced it. I was ready to do it. I was excited about it. And I think what the difference was when I thought of everybody who's going out there and sounded bad, they were attempting to sound good. And I feel like that's where they went wrong. I had to own it. I had to embrace, like, this is not going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
But just like when I raced the freeze, I am not going to win. just don't fall. Like, that was my whole thing. Remember the words. Get through it. Don't laugh. Take it seriously. And I felt like I would be fine.
I was watching his Insta story, and he was in the car on the way to West Georgia talking. And I'm like,
yeah.
Why aren't you practicing? Why aren't you singing? You need to be singing in the car on the entire way there. Yeah.
Nope.
So you walk into the arena after shaking everybody now, shaking hands with everybody. Now, I would say that this didn't appear to be a sold-out game.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I'm not discrediting you and the fear that I would have had in front of a packed stadium because you did your job.
Right.
But at least in looking at the video, it didn't look like there were a whole bunch of people in that audience.
So this is where my friends failed me. And yes, it was not packed. And that did help me because mentally I went in there prepared for it to be sold out. Like, I thought it was going to be packed.
6,000 people staring at you.
That's what I was prepared for. And it wasn't that at all. It probably was only half of the arena, to be fully honest, that was filled because they had a bunch of other college stuff going on that they told me about before. They said I lucked out, that there was a lot of things going on campus. But my friends could have got a better angle of me because if they would have did it from the other side, it would have looked like the arena was packed because everybody was on one side and that's why it made it look like I'm singing to nobody.
Yeah, the videos literally look like there was nobody in the stage.
Nobody.
Okay.
Yeah, Elizabeth Heron, who set this whole thing up with West Georgia, she calls me on Friday and she goes, yeah, Mo might have lucked out because all the students have gone home for Christmas.
Oh.
And the Christmas parade in Carrollton was happening that day where the University of West Georgia is.
So lovely.
All of the town was at the Christmas parade.
Okay. I will say this, that it wouldn't have mattered if there was 100 people in it or 6,000. I would have had the same fear. So even though it wasn't packed, it was only half packed, you still had to sing in front of 3,000 people.
And you still got to think about all of the people that are going to see it when you're done. Yeah. So it really is the same. It's you versus yourself, regardless of who's there.
Because, you know, we are about to play it on the air.
Yeah, we are.
There's that part.
All right, so you want to give this thing a go?
Yep. So, okay. And I didn't even get to prepare, which I actually think helped me because they told me I had like 20 minutes. And then when I went down there, they grabbed me and was like, no, we have to go now. So I didn't really even have enough time to really get to be nervous. They just threw me at half court, gave me the mic and said, are you ready?
So there was no rehearsal because usually what we hear, the cliche is that when you're singing the national anthem, there's an echo and sometimes it's a second behind and it can really mess with you. You didn't have any chance to even rehearse that.
Nothing. Like literally, I got there. They said hello. They asked me if I was ready. I said, as ready as I'm going to be. They took me down to the court, and they were like, okay, I thought we had some time, but we don't. Are you ready now? So I'm like, yeah, I guess now is the time. So he gives me the mic. He turns it on. He puts me right in front of the flag, and then the guy starts to announce it, which helped me a lot, too, because I didn't know they were going to say that I lost the bet. I thought they were going to make people believe that I just was really out there trying to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that was nice of them to set people's expectations.
That helped me a lot. That helped me a whole lot. I was like, okay.
They set the bar low.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then I heard
them. They weren't like recording artists. No.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
I was like, oh, yes. They're saying it's a bet. Oh, this is even better. And then it was go time. So they put me in front of the flag. The guy makes the announcement. And then I hear the music start, and I got to do what I got to do.
And performing today's anthem, due to a lost bet on the Bird Show on 99.7, is Mr. Mo Mitchell. Oh, see, can you see my lovely life? Oh, it's so proud. Whose brought a
Y'all heard that confidence at the end?
Yeah.
I started to feel myself.
You did. I felt you were confident the entire time.
Yeah.
I tried to turn it up at the end.
Dude, kudos. Kudos.
Well done, man.
I would have been like, pose it. Can you see my honor?
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
You're offered the chance to meet an A-list celebrity on a casual Saturday night, and what do you say? No. At least that's what I said on Friday. So in the middle of a break yesterday, Tommy comes in and he's like, Abby, I'm so excited for you because we have the opportunity for you to meet a man. And I was like, yes. And he's like, no, I'm an A-list man, potentially in the entertainment space where you might be able to get to watch some of his work and interview him. And I'm like, oh my God, who could possibly be coming into town? And so we went down the gambit. So me, I'm in a desperate headspace. So I'm just listing all the hot actors I want to date. I'm like, is Glenn Powell coming back? He's like, no. I was like, is Michael B. Jordan filming something? He's like, no. I'm like, who could possibly be coming to town that I would want to meet? And then Tommy goes, it's Timothy Chalamet. And I was like, oh, okay.
He's the best.
He is so talented, A-list actor. And actually, after what I'm about to explain happened this weekend, he seems like a really cool dude.
Mm-hmm. You can see him on ESPN this weekend. He did a great job on game day. A great job.
He did a really shocking job. Everyone's like, what? Timothy Chalamet knows ball? What? But Tommy said, listen, Saturday we have the opportunity for you to, you know, go to a Q&A after a press screening of his new movie, A Complete Unknown, which is the biopic for Bob Dylan. And I'm like, I have plans. I was planning on doing fun things on Saturday night. Now this is like a heads up that I wasn't expecting. So I'm like, you know what? Rebecca's gonna go. Like, she can get any good tea that comes out of it. Like, a big Q&A with like 500 people. We're gonna be battling for one question. I don't want to cancel my plans that I've had on my calendar for literally a year for this.
I want to sidebar here for just 1 second. So when Abby bailed out of meeting Timothy Chalamet, my son, who goes to SCAD, is really into theater, really into movies. He's a theater kid, right? So I asked him if he wanted to go, and he's like, for sure. And I said, the only thing is you got to ask Timothy Chalamet a question so he can play it on the air on Monday. And he's like, yeah, no problem at all. What's the movie that he's doing? And I'm like, it's about Bob Dylan. And he's like, who's that?
Yeah.
And I said, well, he was really big in the 60s and 70s, kind of a pop icon back there. And he's like, okay, I'll do my research and I'll have a question ready. He calls me back half an hour later and he goes, this Bob Dylan guy's music sucks.
It doesn't really seem like it's in Hayden's lane.
It wasn't.
So anyway, so I end up turning it down just because I'm like, the odds of us even getting to ask a question with as many people that are probably going to the screening, not likely. So I don't want to bail on my friend that I've committed plans to with. So I'm getting ready to go work out on Friday. And then Rebecca texts me and she goes, Abby, I can't go to the screening. And I'm like, what? What's happened? And she goes, turns out it's not just a Q&A. It's a round table with me and like two other reporters from like CNN and Yahoo Entertainment. And so when Rebecca sees, scary, I go, well, that's pretty freaking cool to get to sit across the table from Timothy Ding Dong. So I'm like, well, if you don't want to go, I'ma go. So then we end up deciding to go together. And now I'm like, okay, well, this is actually kind of cool. I'm a little stressed out about the whole plans changing thing. But you know what? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm looking at the schedule, figuring out how I can go to my Christmas party, but also interview Timothy Chevrolet. So, and then I just start deep diving into Bob Dylan. I'm like watching all of the Bob Dylan documentaries. I'm watching all of like the interviews that Timothy has already done for this movie. And literally for the next 24 hours, I just sit in front of my laptop and inhale anything Bob Dylan.
This is great.
And then Rebecca texts me after we've figured out what questions we want to ask and how we've gone back and forth and figured out what we, you know, if we only get one question, what is this question going to be? She texts me and she goes, the round table's been canceled.
Oh, no, man.
Oh, no.
And I look at it, the text, and I'm like, I don't want to go anymore. I'm like, I just learned so much about Bob Dylan for no reason.
for nothing.
However, I want you on my team for trivia night.
Yeah, right. I'm there.
So you're not attracted to Timothée Chalamet and you hate Bob Dylan's music. Why go?
I'm like, why am I going? So I'm like, you know what? I'll figure out how to go. Like, I can still go to this Christmas party. Like, we can still maybe get one question in at this Q&A. And then I'm just looking at the schedule. I'm like, there's no good way for me to show up to my friend's party, be fully present there, and also show up to the Q&A and be fully present there. And so now I'm just in a tizzy. So I figure out that I can go to my friend's party for literally 30 minutes and then maybe ask Timothy Chlamydia one question at the end of the Q&A. And so I show up to my friend's party. I'm like prepared to not drink. I didn't Uber. I get there and I'm like, listen, girlfriend, I'm here for 35 minutes and that's it. I get a call from Rebecca.
The line was really long. I'm just not used to being press, I think, because I'm not media trained to understand what goes down at these press screenings, because I kind of thought I would show up and there would be like a small line with media and they'd have my name and my plus one and I'd walk in. But it was like a line of like 300 plus SCAD students in front of me who watched me with daggers in their eyes as I approached the glass to try to find a media person to let me in. So I was already terrified of the idea of like sitting down and seeing Timothée Chalamet or asking him a question. So the eyes of all of these art students just like watching me as I walk up. Yeah, my self-esteem failed. I ran to the back. I called Abby. I was like, I'm not sure we're even going to be able to get in. So, sorry, little Timmy.
No, this is what happened at Taylor Swift.
Yep. And had you not been there, we'd still be in that line.
Exactly. Yeah. No, girl, you're media. Like, you walk to the front, you ask, like, hey, we're on the press list.
That's what I said.
I went to the security guard, and because it was like,
they don't know anything.
They didn't. And I was like, I don't know who to ask. I was out of my depth.
So, I get a call. I get Bert's son, Hayden, who is a film student at SCAD, the place that they're having the thing at. And Hayden says, they won't let me in. I'm like, what do you mean they won't let you in? He said, security guard shooed me away.
And his name was on the list, right?
And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, what? I was like, is anybody from the company there? And I said the company's name. And he goes, I don't know.
And my son, bless his heart, pings a little stressed. So I can imagine him just wanting to, like, oh my God. For him, the anxiety must have been pinging. He must have just been wanting to run out of it.
And I could tell.
Okay.
And I said, just go up to the security guard, tell him your boss is on the phone, that he wants to talk to him, and I was going to get him in.
Yeah.
And he kept putting me on hold. And I'm like, just put me on speakerphone. And he kept putting me on hold, so I couldn't hear anything going on. So I'd wait. And he'd come back about a minute later and go, yeah, they're not letting me in.
God bless him.
But somebody heard him, I guess, that worked for the company that said he was with the Bird Show and that he was with your son and they let him in.
All right. So, Rebecca, back to you for a second. So you stand in this line with 300 other students, even though your press and your name is on the list.
Yes.
Rebecca. Wow. Oh, my God.
I stood for like 5 minutes. I was kind of like, I was hedging my bets. I was like, okay, can I do this?
So when Hayden can get in, first thing I do is call Rebecca. Oh, Rebecca's there. She'll get him in, no problem. Rebecca, where are you at? I'm eating dinner. I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, the movie starts in 5 minutes.
It's Timothée Chalamet, people.
That's what I said.
Overrated.
The Bird Show.
So a follow-up to a story I was telling you guys about Friday I was really into, because there was the opportunity for a family to lose $197 million over the weekend.
Excuse me, I missed this.
$197 million. They are from a little town in California called Encino, California, right? And they won the lottery. They won the lottery, all right? So two tickets were sold in Encino, or in California, at this place, Encino. So they were going to split the jackpot, which was $395 million. One family has come forward. And then Friday was the deadline day for the other family or whomever bought that ticket, because they hadn't called it in yet. So Friday, California's like, this is it. This is it. The deadline is Friday. If we don't hear from them, then they lose the cash entirely.
No, I cannot.
And it goes back to the state, right? So Friday comes.
Oh, wait, but the other people don't get it?
No.
Oh, no. They should. They should. I feel like that's kind of messed up. Like, if you're the only people to win the lottery that time around, I feel like you should get the full jackpot.
Yeah, no, because two tickets were purchased. So, no, the other family just loses out on the 197, but the other family does not get it, right? So Friday rolls around, and people over at the lottery are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Doors are closing at 5 o'clock at 4:55.
No way.
They don't show up. No. So it went without being claimed.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
I hope whoever has it never finds out that they had it.
That would literally change my mentality forever. Knowing that I had that cash. I mean, I don't know if they lost. Nobody knows the story. They don't know if they lost the ticket. They decided, like, they got intimidated by it and they couldn't handle it. They didn't know they were ever the winner. Nobody knows. All they know is nobody collected the $197 million.
Oh, my God. Oof. I would never recover.
Like, I'm sick for them.
I know, right? I'll never be the same.
All right, before we go forward, let's put a nice little exclamation on something you guys did last week with our breaking and entering for Grandma.
No, we're putting a big old Christmas bow on it, baby.
This was pretty cool last week. If you were listening to The Burt Show, you know we had a family come in here, grandmother specifically, that was really going through a very difficult time. Man, it would take us 10 minutes to tell you everything that's been going on in her life. But the most crisis... driven ones were like, her daughter has stage 4 cancer. It doesn't look like she's going to be around for another Christmas. She's got 2 grandkids also, so we were trying to make it special there. Grandma herself has medical conditions. Grandma herself lost her fiance like 2 weeks ago. They had nothing, no pillowcases, no sheets for their bed, nothing in the house. So we presented you guys with their story, hoping that you would fit their needs. And boy, did you fit their needs.
Yeah, to say the least, didn't they, Tommy?
Right. When we checked in last week, we had raised $20,000 worth of donations. It's even higher now, y'all.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Burt Show fam does.
402 total gifts, 775 total Burt Show team members now.
That's people that joined the team to contribute?
Yes. And some people went anonymous and didn't identify themselves on the team, but we still get the donations from them. $25,000 worth of
donations. Oh, my gosh. So I want to break this down for you guys real quick so you can understand where all of this is going. So $7,000 in the wish list gifts for the family. So this is the items, like the actual gifts that we're going to be, our elves are going to be wrapping and putting underneath the tree, like the new shoes, the plushie toys, the PlayStation, grandma's tracksuit, the spa day for mom, all their Christmas gifts. That's, and you know, the bedding for the kids' beds, all of that stuff, the TV, that is all that. Then in addition to that, because we wanted to make it a special Christmas, but the upcoming months are going to be very difficult for this family considering what the mom is dealing with her health crisis. So you all donated $8,000 for a year's supply of groceries, so they won't have to worry about food for an entire year.
Nice.
$8,000 for 6 months of rent. Their rent is completely taken care of for the next 6 months, so they don't have to worry about that, and then they can save up whatever else they need to. And then $2,000 for 6 months of rideshare gift cards because she had no way to get to and from the hospital.
Unbelievable. Absolutely incredible. Unbelievable.
So
man,
all the way until the next summer, this family is going to be able to focus on each other and quality time, not where their next meal is going to come from, not where if they're going to have a roof over their head the following month, and not if they have a way to get to and from the hospital.
So we're going to be doing the breaking and the entering next week, and you guys can listen to it on the show on Friday, December 20th. And if you gave any kind of donation whatsoever, listen that morning, go, I did that whole thing, right? So tomorrow, we got together with Purposity. You want to explain again what Purposity is?
Purposity is a nonprofit that works with organizations like The Burt Show and helps out in charity aspects where, you know, if you're trying to raise money, it kind of flows through them. And they have been just wonderful to work with.
So we were talking to them last week, and they said you guys did such an amazing job. What if we hit you with some of the most dire families in town that really, really need the help? So Tommy asked them for the list, and I think we can start working on this tomorrow. I'd like to start organizing it. But there are 48 different families around town, which sounds like an overwhelming number. These are the families with the most dire needs now. If we could all focus on this, we could help all 48 families that have this dire need. Now, that sounds like an amazing amount of money until you break it down to the actual numbers that we would need. Compared to what you guys did over 24 hours, mm-hmm. this list is pretty small.
Yeah, actually. And we went, and for our family that we're doing the breaking and entering for, you guys went above and beyond.
How many needs did we need met for our original family?
It was like 65.
Okay. And you guys came together on what? How many?
Total gifts, 402.
Okay.
So we went over the top.
So listen to that number and then listen to this number. If we helped all 48 of the families that need it most around town, all 48, that's only 329 total needs. And what was the final financial number that we came up with for one family?
For
grandma?
Oh,
25,000
that we raised.
25,000. Yes. All we would need is 14,000 for all of these other families.
Wow. Right.
So if we came together over the next week and a half, I think we can help the most dire families all around town with only 329 total needs and $14,000. I think we can do that. We're just trying to figure out the best way to organize it and present it to you guys without you getting to a point where you're like, okay, I'm done asking for that, you know, for them asking me over and over and over again, because it's really not a very long list.
It's not. And Tommy is, he's like, this is so doable. Mm-hmm. And hey, this is your all's fault. If you hadn't showed us how big your hearts were, we wouldn't be coming back at you with some more families.
And you're setting a record for yourselves, because this isn't the first time you guys have come to the table and done this. I mean, you've done it time and time again, and the holidays, you know, making differences for people, you can do it. I know you can.
You know, and we'll bring this up again tomorrow, but just kind of give them the briefing of how these families are chosen.
Okay, so we work directly with, or Proposity, I should say, works directly with social workers, homeless liaisons, program managers that are kind of working at the grassroots level to support these families who are struggling financially and have other additional challenges. And that's where we get those
Everything's
families.
Vetted.
Yes. So as I'm looking at this list here, you're talking about like a single mother of four that's navigating an unimaginable challenge after a drive-by shooting targeted their home by mistake. There's a grandmother caring for eight family members also. There's a single mom of two that spends months living in her car and moving between hotels while striving to keep her family together. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. 48 families that we can totally embrace and help out over the course of the next couple of weeks before Christmas. So let's try to organize this, and then we'll start asking you guys for your help tomorrow. So thanks again for Grandma. Now we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.